Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, everybody. This is Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. This is a radio show for anybody who is struggling with infertility or miscarriage or lots of other topics. We've had child loss, which is actually going to be the topic that we talk about today. And for any of you guys who have been longtime listeners, you know my amazing, beautiful co-host,
you're sweet.
Anne, who is in studio with us today. And I'm just gonna back up and give our audience a quick review for anyone who's new to the show. So I think it was July of 2023 when you and I were at a Marriage Family Life conference, right? And we had just done an episode where you came on air and asked our listeners to be praying for your pregnancy and that there were some complications. And we've shared with our audience that let me also introduce Will. Sorry, he's sitting here like, what am I? Right. Chopped liver.
No.
There would be Ann Cockrell without a Will Cockrell.
That's correct.
Your husband joining us in studio to really jump into the story of John Micah, a child loss story, which is heavy. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to get into today. For anyone listening, though, I just want to first of all thank you. I know you guys have been praying for the Cockrell family. Yeah. I know you guys have said that you felt prayer covering people. And I'm going to say to both of you guys, thank you for being vulnerable in the middle of your, like, it takes a lot to, in the middle of your grief, do what you guys are doing and being vulnerable and share. And nobody expects you to have all of the answers. So today, if you are listening, this is not like grief counseling 101 with Will.
Because I don't know how to do that.
Nobody would put that on you guys. No. But in the middle of your journey, there's so much that I think, whether you've gone through child loss or not, there's so much that people can relate to the raw pain that you are feeling and the way that God has wrapped His arms around you in this like supernatural, ridiculous story. So that's all my precursors. Thank you guys for agreeing to come on and share your story today.
Well, I'm honored to be here. It feels it feels good to be back.
Yeah.
People might think it's strange. Even our family, when they heard that we were going to come on and talk about John Micah, they were like, are you sure you're ready to do that? Are you sure this is the best thing for you? But we both will say, like, we love to talk about John Micah. Even though his story is hard to talk about, that's the only way we get to talk about him. So, and I've heard other, this is a new term to me, but lost moms, I've heard other lost moms say the same thing. Like, even though it's a sad, awful time in my life, he also brought me a lot of joy, and I want the chance to get to talk about him. So that's why we're here today. And I do hope to bring encouragement, but I am not here saying, I have now crossed the line and I'm okay, because I'm not. If you would have seen me last night driving home from getting diaper rash cream, you would have seen I wasn't okay. We're not trying to act like we're okay and that we don't struggle with anger or that we don't struggle with confusion or worry. But yeah, I do think it's different when people are willing to be vulnerable still in the hard moments instead of coming back after and saying, yeah, God's good now and I can see it now because it all makes sense now. We're still in the part that it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I love if when you read the Psalms, like there's a lot of Psalms that David reads, you know, says where you're like, oh, wow, David, you were in the middle of your pain and like some of what you said was right and some of it was not right.
Yeah,
but your heart was, you know, so centered on wanting to honor God. And that's, I feel like you guys are a living psalm now that's pouring your heart out before the Lord. So let's back up. Let's jump into, go back into July and kind of what happened.
Well, so July, if we're going to start at the Marriage Family Life mm-hmm. Conference that AFA host, we were there mm-hmm. and Hannah's Heart got up to speak and just give a little spill about, yeah. you know, our ministry and what we were doing. And I think there we might have mentioned a prayer mm-hmm. request there mm-hmm. that I had gotten a diagnosis at that point. It was a scary diagnosis. Anytime you get negative news about your baby, mm-hmm. It's not good. It's scary. You don't like it. But at the time, we were told nothing to worry about. He'll have a small procedure as soon as he's born. Nothing, like, literally children are fine within a few weeks after surgery, and, like, he'll never even know about it. Mm. And so that's what we were resting on. And at that point, I was scheduled.
And you're how far along at this point?
Oh, roughly, I guess, 24 weeks.
Yeah.
We got the diagnosis a few weeks before okay. that, but that was the first time okay. we were sharing the news publicly mm-hmm. to ask for prayer. And then I think the next week mm-hmm. or so, I came on the podcast mm-hmm. and asked for prayer mm-hmm. here from our listeners. You know, and we didn't go into the diagnosis, and we're not going to do that today either, but, you know, asking for prayer for that because my appointment was coming up with the specialist. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of going to lead us to which children's hospital he would be delivered at and surgeries and mm-hmm. what that was going to look like for yeah. us. So that's where we had left things off.
Okay. And so then, what happened next?
I think that was the week that all of a sudden I started feeling decreased fetal movement. Mm-hmm. And I had called the doctor, and they said, you know, at this point it's really nothing to worry about because I was 25 weeks, I guess. And sometimes babies just move less, you know, da-da-da-da. And at this point, I still thought this was nothing serious, yeah. his diagnosis. If we would have had the diagnosis that he ended up having, mm-hmm. I would have known immediately, go to the hospital. Mm. And so, you know, a few days go by, and I was telling Will, I was like, something just doesn't feel right. I don't think I slept at all the night before, that Sunday night before John Michael was born. And I was sort of laying in bed that night, like begging God at like 3 o'clock in the morning, please just let me feel him move. Please just let me feel him move. Mm. And he moved just slightly. That was mm-hmm. the last time I felt him move. But I remember it gave me just a tad bit of peace to feel just a little butterfly of a mm-hmm. kick, you know, not what you should be feeling at that point in time in pregnancy. You should be feeling, you know, some strong mm-hmm. kicks. And I had been. He had been a very active baby. Anytime I ate, I would feel him kick.
Sugar rush.
Yeah. And honestly, anytime we heard, like, it playing music in the car and at church, he would move a lot when he would hear songs. And so whenever mm-hmm. all that started shifting, and he would move whenever Will would talk to him too, I knew something wasn't right.
So did you go in at that point, or did you wait till your specialist appointment?
No, I went. This was July 17th that I went to the hospital that morning. I'd called NurseLink, and they told me go ahead and come in. And so one of my good friends kept the kiddos for what I thought was going to be an hour mm-hmm. long to keep them. And Will is normally what at every single appointment.
Yeah.
He had literally never missed even an infertility appointment.
Mm. But you're just thinking, I'm just being extra careful.
Yes.
Like, this is for peace of mind.
Yes, because the next day was July. So this was happening July 17th. My appointment with a specialist was July 18th.
Wow.
And so that is what was in my head. Like, I'm going to end up going to the hospital. They're going to tell me, you have your specialist appointment tomorrow. Like, chill out, mama.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I got in, and I had talked to you.
Mm-hmm. We prayed that morning.
You prayed for me over the phone. And I had talked to two of my other really, really close friends, and just, I think they actually just ended up calling me. Mm. And I told them, I was like, I just feel like I need y'all to pray for us. You know, something just feels off, you know, mm-hmm. but I was not imagining. Mm-hmm. I thought they were about to put me on bed rest. That's mm-hmm. really what I thought. I was like, great. How are we supposed to have two kiddos and work and all this? And now they're about to put me on bed rest. That is what I thought was about to possibly happen. But then, I got in the hospital, and they took me to the back to, I don't even remember what they, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, if, it's not triage,
yeah,
something
yeah.
like that, though, to, like, get blood pressure and all that, and they got me to do they were doing the monitor first, mm-hmm. and they...
The Doppler,
yeah. And they heard a very slow heartbeat, mm-hmm. but they thought that was my heartbeat. They were like, I don't even hear the baby's heartbeat. I just think I'm not finding it. Mm-hmm. And so they got the ultrasound.
And that's when she called me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever they didn't find the heartbeat.
On the Doppler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I called him and I was like, I think you need to go ahead and head up here. Mm-hmm. And he was at work and
it's a scary call to get in it, Will.
Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, it wasn't long, mm-hmm. less than a minute, she mm-hmm. calls me back.
Oh, they were moving so fast. Yeah. They had ultrasound
in there. After looking at the sonogram.
Yeah.
Ultrasound.
Because his heart rate at that point was 52 beats a minute. And mm. when you know babies' heartbeats, they're supposed to be over 130 mm. beats a minute. And so, obviously, that was not good. My specialist, who I was supposed to see the next day, came mm. running in the door. And he was like, Miss Ann, we're going to do a C-section right now. This is what we're about to do.
Word.
We're going to try to do everything we can to save this baby. I had another lady who ended up actually doing the procedure, Dr. Balthrop. She's an angel. She came in and, you know, was talking me through it within seconds, though, not like a big drawn-out thing. The room was filled with nurses and...
It's like a switch got flipped. And
oh, yeah, yeah. I was so scared. They were honestly taking my clothes off as they were running me down the hall. And the nurse was telling me, she was like, who all do you need me to call? And at this point, I didn't know if he had even called his mom. I had already called my mom. And so I told her that number to call, and then she on my phone, he's listed as my hubby. And so she was like, I called your husband, you know. And then I had told her as we were going down the hallway that I needed her to let my friend know who was keeping the kids, what was going on. And so anyway, they pushed me into a really, really bright room, and I started having a panic attack, I guess. And so they got me oxygen and, told me, you know, like, we need you to, if you're not breathing good, baby's not breathing good. So I was trying to get, you know, all that under control.
Cause you're 24 weeks at this point.
I was 26 when he was born. So I guess that Monday technically made me 26 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, they told me, you know, because they were doing the type of C-section where you have to be put to sleep.
Okay.
So I knew I probably wasn't going to get to meet him. Mm-hmm. And that's what was really sad, to know that I was going to go to sleep. And, you know, when I woke up, he probably wouldn't be here. And so I wish I knew the nurse's name, but he was a male nurse, and he had a mask on. He was leaning over me, and he was holding my hand. Like, you know, because they tie your hands down. Mm-hmm. He's holding my hand, and he said, what's the baby's name? And at that point, we still hadn't said for sure his name. but I said, I think we're going to name him John Micah. Mm. And he told me, he said, well, I'm going to tell John Micah that his mama loves him. And so, I know. It means a lot to me. I don't know who that nurse is, but it meant a lot to me for him to say that. So I hope he was able to do that while John Micah was still alive, because he lived for about 27 minutes.
So they rush you back, right? Mm-hmm. And Will, did you get there in time for her surgery beginning, or how did that work out?
No. So whenever the second time she called me after the ultrasound, of course, that's when I was already rushed to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like she said, so almost getting to the hospital, that's when the nurse calls me, and I'm literally like pulling up. Mm-hmm. So I'm like meeting her at the door as she's like, we're getting off the phone. And when we were on the phone is when she told me I probably wouldn't get to see Ann before we went back. And so that was, it was like a slight panic, you know, like, but it was like I remember like just making this like conscious decision of like, okay, I can't freak out now. Like, But then she, well, while we're walking back there, she's like, yeah, if they end up putting her under, you can't go back there. Mm-hmm. But if, well, I don't, whatever the other option is.
Mm-hmm. Where they just numb you
partially.
Yeah. Then you could, but then by the time we got back there, they were like, yeah, they put her under.
So now you're just waiting.
Yeah, so then I'm just...
Oh, my word.
Then I'm just waiting and...
And he didn't ever know the heartbeat, so, like, he wasn't necessarily expecting John Micah not to make
it. Yeah, it was never going through my head that while I'm sitting there waiting that he wasn't going to make it. Like, it just didn't cross my mind. I wasn't hearing all the things that she had heard, right, from, like, I just knew... Mm. Emergency C-section, all that. I knew what he had. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they had said, or what we thought he had. I didn't know that they said, oh, no, it's not that. It's something else. And so all the stuff, I didn't know the complete severity. And it just never went through my head. Mm-hmm. I just remember, and I'm like, I just never thought until, yeah, however many, 20 minutes or so later, and then a doctor comes out, and then... I could just tell. I was like, she's about to tell me he didn't make it.
Did you have anybody with you at the hospital at this point?
No, it was just me, which my mom, like, looking back, she's like upset about that. Because I think they were there by this time.
But they weren't letting parents.
But like, just the way that I am, like, I was okay with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. But like, I was okay with hearing that. And then, you know, being the one to, I don't know, deal with telling Ann and telling them. And
so you had to tell Ann?
Well.
How'd that go now?
Well, so, you know, when you're waking up from anesthesia, you're kind of groggy. And to be honest, I remember being confused when I was waking up because I remember praying as they were putting me to sleep that God would let me die, you know, to let your baby live. Mm-hmm. And so I remember waking up and being like, this wasn't what I prayed for, you know. And so as I was waking up, I remember a nurse, I think she was standing right there as I happened to come to, like right before Will walked in, and I just said, where's my baby, you know, and she wasn't really wanting to answer, and I finally said, like, did he make it? Is he alive? And she said, no, baby, he's not alive. You know, she said, your husband has him and he's about to be back here. And she was holding my hand. But yeah, it's, it was sad. And Will, he got to walk in and he had John Micah in his hands then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was strange. Even though he didn't, have a life in him, it was still wonderful to get to hold him, you know. You know, yeah, he had the tumor and all that, but it, I mean, yeah, it was no question. I mean, like, I remember after they told me, they're like, do you want to hold him? And I was like, well, of course, you know. So, yeah, and then I walked back there to Ann, and then, it wasn't long and our parents got to come back there, which was...
See, and I don't even remember our parents coming back there.
Yeah, yeah, you were
still... I was
still
just in and out of it, I guess. Which I remember holding him, but there's a lot of pictures I see and I'm like, I don't remember that happening.
Well, I remember when you and Ann shared your story about just infertility, you saying how you just felt like one of the frustrating things was that you couldn't do enough for Ann. Like, there was no way that you could fix it. Like, just being a man and knowing, like, my wife is going to wake up to this news and, like, and a surgery that you have to heal from. Like, what was it like? Were you even able to process, like, how do I be there for Ann? Or were you just so, like, comatose that you couldn't even think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're just so heartbroken that, I mean, obviously, I mean, you don't wish that kind of hurt, you know, on anybody. And I think just knowing, I mean, just knowing we're hurting together. Mm. I mean, you know, I think we, I think immediately we're like apologizing to each other, you know, just saying how sorry we were, you know, because we knew how much the other was hurting. So
yeah, it's definitely been the first thing that we're definitely grieving together, but we've also had to let ourselves grieve individually as well.
And differently at different times, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's had, we've had to have a lot of grace for each other, you know, during this time to try to understand, like, okay, this is what his grieving looks like today. You know, this is what her grieving, you know, looks like today. So that's been a whole nother, you know, learning curve through marriage that we just had never experienced before.
So what happens next? Because you have this like crazy traumatic moment. Like, how do you move past the like trauma? How do you explain to your kids and your family members and all of that?
It's funny that you asked that because I remember when they moved me, you know, their Will and me just in a hospital bed. I'm holding John Micah to the room. And I remember thinking, like, we made it to the room. I made it here. I remember every, like, step of the way as the preparations for the funeral came, as going home from the hospital, as, you know, getting ready for the funeral, like, getting my dress on for the funeral. I remember thinking, like, I made it. I'm still here. I put my dress on to go to the funeral. Like, it's just, I just remember feeling like it didn't make sense that I was living through this because it felt like hell, you know? And so, just every step of the way, I remember thinking, like, we made it. And, you know, that's how Thanksgiving felt, too. You know, Thanksgiving being last week, well, I'd never been to the graveyard on Thanksgiving. And we wanted to go there to, you know, I know his spirit is not there. And some people might think that that's odd. I don't know.
But he's there.
But, you know, and we have, you know, people that have taken special things to him there. And so it's just meant a lot to us, you know, to go there and make sure that everything's taken care of, because that's the only way, I guess, we can take care of him now.
One thing I will say to that, too, is as far as, like, where do you go from here, I found myself, I don't remember, it was pretty early on, that we've had other friends, close friends, who have also lost a newborn or, you know, young child. And one of them was telling us, like, it's been 5 or 6 years for them. And she was just telling us, you know, feels just like yesterday. You know, she can still lose it because the hurt, you know, obviously will never go away. So then I'm thinking about Anne, and I'm like, man, I'm hurting for her, knowing that that's going to, like, okay, 5 or 6 years later, it's still going to hurt like it does right now.
We've just never had pain like
and
that
so,
before.
So I'm just praying. I'm like, God, what do I do? What do we do? And I do it, like, I guess you could say, enjoy telling people, you know, he answered that pretty quickly. Because from the moment that our parents came in, after he was born, there wasn't a whole lot of time that we were by ourselves, unless we wanted to be. And that has meant the world, you know, whether it's family or friends or whoever. And we can't say thank you does not do it justice to all of them, but that certainly God's like, I mean, you're not going to do it by yourself. You know, these people here, and he's given us those people, you know. So,
well, knowing that you mentioned God being there to help you guys, one thing that has come to my mind as you guys are sharing is that as believers, we grieve like everybody else. Like, there's no easy way to lose a child. But we do grieve differently than the rest of the world. We only have just a moment left. But is there any glimmers of hope that God has given you on this journey that you think, if I didn't know Jesus?
Well, the biggest thing would be I would be worried about where my baby was, you know. It's hard enough. As a Christian, I know it's just his body that is in the ground. But as a mama, that is very hard to think about my baby's body being mm-hmm. in the ground. Mm. And the first thunderstorm that came really bothered me because, you know, like when your other children are scared or cold or whatever, you take care of them. But he's in the ground now, you know. And I just feel like the Lord has helped me have peace at knowing that he's not.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
You're going to see that baby again because of Jesus.
That's yes. Right. And so I can't imagine if I didn't have my faith in Christ, how much more awful, if it can get any more awful, how much more awful this would be to go through.
Well, thank you guys so much for sharing. I know we're about out of time. This is just the beginning of the story. I know as we continue to share on Hannah's heart, we're going to unpack all those questions that you have for God, the way that he sometimes doesn't answer you right away.
Yeah.
All of that, we're going to unpack that. And thank you guys again for sharing and being so vulnerable. We're continuing to pray for you guys. And I'm personally blessed by just your willingness to share with us today. So, thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.